I just want to thank you guys for coming. And I know that if we ask any of you, the most important thing in your lives is your family. And seeing that you fulfill all that God has called you to do and the plan that He has for your life. To walk in the fullness of the calling that's on your life, whatever that is. And some of you may not even be clear as to what God has called you to do yet. You keep just giving yourself to prayer. He'll have you, usually, no matter what your call is, it starts with praying for other people. Because your faithfulness and your learning to hear His voice when you do pray for other people is how He teaches you about things He's doing in your life and things that He wants to do in your family's life, whether you have children or not. And if you're married, or even if you're not, if you're believing God for a husband, you are the intercessor. We'll use that word because an intercessor is someone that stands between that person and the plan of the devil in their life coming to pass. An intercessor is actually just a person that is faithful to pray. The word intercessor has been built up to such a degree over the years and given all kinds of characteristics and you could say even praise and accolades or whatever you want to call it. And there have been some weird things come out about people who intercede, who are intercessors. And there is no such, the word intercessor isn't a ministry. It's not mentioned. But it's a ministry of prayer. It's just praying. Ladies, it's just praying. It's praying when you first get up in the morning over your children, over if you have children, your grandchildren, your immediate families, listening for that wisdom that descends from above, that's pure and peaceable, that flows from the Holy Spirit Himself as you give yourself to Him to pray for people. He will lead you into He'll tell you traps and snares that the enemy has laid for your life and your children and your grandchildren, and you can speak the word of God over those situations and they will change. The first thing I do is worship God for His word, because I didn't know the word of God at all. I had never read the Bible. Remember, when I first got saved, I hadn't even been to church hardly. I knew nothing at all. So it was a wonderful thing for me to find out that God's word lives and abides forever. That it never changes. Here was something that I could grab hold of and say, this is truth, and all the other stuff isn't. So it was amazing to me to find out just the simplest little thing like that. Please excuse me for being emotional, because I get this way anytime I think back to what to all that the Holy Spirit taught us when we knew nothing at all. And we'd sit there and read the Word of God. But it was a matter of life and death for us. So we would sit there. He would speak to us through His Word. We had learned a little bit before then. Remember, we were only 33 when we got saved. And we were in the business world. That was our life. That's what we did continually. Day, and people could call us at night, anytime. We had to escape. Fortunately, they didn't have cell phones then. And cell phones, I think they're a curse sometimes, but anyway. So that's what our life was, working. We didn't have time for our children. We had no time for anything except working what we thought we wanted to do. So we had already found out how words can affect people and it can affect your children grow, you know, can actually form, can paint a picture for them of who they're supposed to be, of who they are, of who what their character is like. Your words form those for your children. And especially in the first few years, you know, when they're 3 and 4 and 5, even before that, and just continually, your words are continually painting a picture for your children to conform to. Just like we're supposed to look at Jesus and behold Him as in a mirror, and the Holy Spirit conforms us to that image. Your words are painting a picture for your children, for everybody else around you. They are forming a world for you to live in. And I know I'm thankful that Pastor LaRue Atkinson put out that book. That was a great book, Framing Your World. And these are things that the Holy Spirit taught us, just like praying for people, praying for the kids, speaking God's word over the kids. Our children were... Yes. Could somebody help pass these out? These are some confessions. They mean so much more to me than just written words on paper. The very first thing God taught us was about the effect of our words in the earth. Not just for people, but the effect that our words had on situations in the earth. How important they were. The very first thing, thank God for Michael, who taught us faith is getting God's word, seeing what He says about any situation, believing that above anything that you can see, hear, or feel. It was just very simple. It was a hard concept for me, not having ever been exposed, if you can understand that at all, not having been exposed to Christian teaching hardly at all. It was hard for me to grasp the concept of faith, but at the same time, I was so thankful that there was something that I could believe no matter what I saw, because the things that I saw in the world after I got saved was what he turned our world upside down, and we started seeing things totally different immediately. We got baptized with the Holy Spirit shortly after we got saved. Gary got saved in July. He's told you about that many times. And I got saved in September. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues about 2 weeks after I got saved. And then all hell broke loose. And that is another evidence of speaking in tongues, by the way. All hell breaks loose. And the weirdest people come out of the woodwork. And the enemy sends people, they are sent ones, to to lie to you about what God is like. It, mainly the spirits of religion, I guess. I guess you would call it that. I don't know. They just, it was amazing how much material came into our, or tried to make its way into our possession right after we got saved. Whereas before, nothing got into our possession about God. Everything from Catholicism to, there was even a guy from Jehovah's Witnesses that we had worked with, never talked to us, wanted to set us down and talk to us about what God was like. You know, just things like that. And the devils manifesting through people were unbelievable. And now here was Gary, who had not gone to church and had been raised in Baptist church until he was about 12 years old or so. But they didn't believe in devils anyway. So he didn't know anything. Thank God we had Michael. So all these people started coming into our lives, or trying to get into our lives, sent by the enemy. And we weren't strong enough yet. And we didn't know anything. But Michael's prayers protected us to a great degree, because these people just fell by the wayside, and we kept studying and learning and praying. And as we'd sit there, the Holy Spirit would cause the words of the page. You know how he does. You just get an epiphany, a revelation. It flies up in your face. It stands out. It can be highlighted. It can have great light shining from the Word of God. Say this. Speak this over your children. Speak this over so and so. Pray this over so and so. I want to do this in their life. And keep very close to the Word of God. We found that out, because we didn't even know that there was such thing as witchcraft. Prayers, you know, trying to conform people to your will instead of God's will. And because you see something going on in people's life, and it looks a certain way to you. So, oh, they need this. So you start praying out of your own mind and soul, and it doesn't have anything all to do with the root that God wants to get out of them, so that he can place his truth and his love and his compassion. And anyway, you are your family's greatest intercessor. I know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. You have the Lord Jesus Christ himself wanting to use you to stand at the gate that people go through, at the decision that they make, whether they'll desire or long for or be hungry for the things of God, and having him work in their lives, seeing his power displayed on the earth to bring people to Jesus, that the name of Jesus be lifted up. You're the one that stands there, and you're the one that can open your mouth and speak God's purpose and God's plan for and his will, therefore bringing his kingdom to come and his will to be done in those people's lives, just like it is in heaven. Those great plans that he made for every person, just like blueprints, the plan for your life, every detail covered by God himself, your loving Father. And if you don't know that he loves you, you keep coming here, you keep just reaching out to him with your whole heart, Say, Father, I want everything you've got. Father, I want everything you've got. Do in me whatever you want to do. Just change me into that image that you want me to be changed to. If anything is in me you need plucked up, you show me how to do it. You do it by your power, and you show me what word to use, because the word is like a hammer, and it breaks up the stony ground, and he uses his word to pluck those things out of us. The word divides the soul from the spirit. And I don't, the joint and the marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can see his word, or the Holy Spirit can speak his word to you in a loving, tender way. And at the same time, he'll show you how unlike God you feel about a situation or a person. He exposes by his word anything in you that needs to be taken out so he can bring more of his fullness, see. Now, all of those confessions I was telling you about, those are scriptures that he's given me over the years. We've spoken, get some to Gary as we've prayed, as we've read. Those are the ones, they mean so much to me. I've spoken them over the children and over Gary for so long, and now, the last few years, it hasn't been like that. The more he speaks to us with prophecy and making more plain his plan for our lives, we speak those things out now. But we didn't have those in the beginning, see. So now we have specific things that we thank God for that he's bringing to pass. It probably takes us over an hour just with all of the prophecies that he's given us, both to us, through other people that we trust heard God, that were confirming his word. That's why, again, I encourage you to take those words that have been spoken over you in the past that you know to be of God. You get those out and war over them. Fight the good fight of faith and warfare with them. Just say, this is what you desire and this is what's coming to pass and nothing else is. I don't want to be one degree off. I don't want to get off on another path that you haven't chosen for me, God. I want the fullness of what you've called me to do. I don't, even if you're very young, you don't have the time to spend like we did a few years. You just make one decision and it can cost you a few years. God will do all he can to get you back on that path. But he's taking care of every detail and all of the provision for it. And I don't really know. Let me see. Did everybody get a copy? Our girls, I thank God for our daughters. They all work in the ministry now. They're great women of God. They're great women of faith. And I just love them so much. And I can't even talk about them. I don't know how Gary does it all the time when he tells people about things that God has done for us. Because he has done such great things. And he will continue to. So I'm going to have a real problem, aren't I? Oh, that one's empty. I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit is such a friend. He will speak to you. he lusts after your time. All of the time that you give, it is true. All the time that you give to other things that don't have anything to do with the plan of God for your life, that don't have any... And now, I'm not saying there are natural things. You have to take care of the natural things. I am so tired of, and especially, well, because I meet the women, I guess, that refuse to take care of their families and do those things necessary because it's just not spiritual, you know. That's a religious devil. And as long as you stay that way, God won't ever be able to fulfill His plan for you or your family. He wants you praying, humbling yourself, and praying, asking for His help. So He can move, so His presence can be there when your children need some relief from the outside world, where everything just tears them apart, where everything they hear, everything they see is so unlike the kingdom of God. And all of these forces just tearing at them, just grabbing at them, trying to get them like prey, you know. You're the one that can protect them. And if you're not married now, if you're believing God for a mate, you better start praying for your mate now. Because he's going to need it. But and you're going to need it to stay married. Because everything around you is the opposite of what God says just about. First thing Michael Muccio taught us to do, and we've told you this before, was say the love chapter. Insert each other's names in the love chapter. Gary suffers long, is patient and kind and all that. So I did that. Then we started doing it with other people. So over the years, that's what I've done, except for the last maybe 7 or 8, maybe. I don't do those same scriptures anymore. But these were where I started. These were what the Holy Spirit showed me. Now, a lot of times when I start worshiping God and praying for the kids, the grandkids, and the people that in the family, and you guys, and the people of the prayer center, these scriptures will just come flooding out there. I have prayers for the body of Christ that I've said over here when we would meet down here and pray, and I'd walk and touch the chairs and pray over the body of Christ. Well, I still do that at home. And He will show me people's faces, and He'll say, I want to do this in their life now. Pray this for them, and He'll give me words, and I just keep praying, and the words will come flowing out. And sometimes I'll think, boy, that was so neat. I wish you'd do that to me, you know. And just the prayers for the body of Christ are Ephesians, especially Ephesians 1:17, which is something I prayed for the girls all those years, and for Gary. And put their names in it. And that's all I do. That's all I did all those years. Father, grant, give to the girls spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You. The eyes, open the eyes of their understanding, that they know what is the hope of their calling and what are the riches of the glory of Your inheritance in them as saints of God. That they know the exceeding greatness of Your love that You've loved them with. And that You strengthen them with all might by Your Spirit in their inner woman. That Jesus Christ dwells in their heart by faith, that they're rooted and grounded in love and comprehend with all the saints what is the length and height, the depth and breadth, that they know the love that You've loved them with, and they're filled with all Your fullness Think about those words. Those words go out for the angels to hearken to. It's the voice of God's word on this earth, and that's what they hearken to do it. They hearken to the voice of His word to do it. Psalms 103:20. And you ask to stand guard over them, to keep them in God's path, and that they not veer off to the right or to the left. And I'm telling you what, it looked like for a few years they were veering pretty strong there, in long ways off. But the Lord would wake us up sometimes, and warn us. We wouldn't know what was going on, but we would pray, and He would have that intercession, that crying that comes over you like a blanket. That just, you can't even hardly breathe. And then it would just lift. And Gary, when he started praying at the ugly building, and I've told you before the hard time that I had with him being gone all the time, and all of this going on, and we didn't know what was happening and what was going to be happening, because we knew God had told him not to ever hold a secular job again. Well, see, this was, 20 years after we were saved. And you see people say that, you know, after they first get saved. God doesn't usually tell them that. That's a devil telling them, you can't live by faith unless you don't work. See, you got to quit your job so that you can show God you're living by faith. Well, it takes them usually a long time to get to that place, but they fall for it. We've come across so many people that have fallen for that. But Gary, when I would confess over him, all of these things about the words of his mouth are righteous. There's nothing crooked or perverse ever comes out of his mouth, and that. For the longest time, I confessed over Gary the scriptures that have to do with ministry, because I didn't see myself as a minister at all. And I didn't understand. Remember, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know what an apostle was. I knew what the preacher was. You know, I'd seen those on TV and the times I'd gone with my friends to church. But Gary didn't either. When we first got saved, he didn't. All he knew was the evangelist and the pastor, because that's all the church that he attended when he was young. That's all they had. We had no idea about all these other callings that God has, the government of helps, and I believe a lot of you women are called to be those women of means and women of substance that fund the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that wherever Jesus wants to go in the earth, you're going to fund it. And in order to do that, you need His wisdom, His those witty inventions, that wisdom that descends from above, that redeems the time. In Ephesians 5, it talks about redeeming the time because the day is evil. And he goes on to say, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, redeeming the time because the day is evil. And that wisdom helps you to do that. He will get you on that path when you give yourself to Him, to all the time crying out for His wisdom, crying out for His plan for your life to be done. Father, I don't want to go on. I don't want any counterfeit trails. I don't want to waste any time. So I'm just asking You for Your wisdom, and I thank You that I have it. You said You'd give it to me liberally, and You wouldn't get on me for asking You, no matter how many times I come to You and ask. The things that I spoke over Gary. First I said, that Gary's preaching and teaching are not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that the people's faith might rest in God and not in man. It was one of the very first things that I started, along with the love chapter, and so many that now I have in sections for ministers. I have all of these words of God that I speak over people that I know are called to minister, but all of you guys are. I want to know how many of you know that you are called to the prayer center to minister to hurt people. How many of you know that? That's it. You know what you're going to do. You don't. You may not know in what capacity. You may not know whether it's as an apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor, any of those others. Whatever he's called you to do, it's to minister to hurting people. Are there how many of you guys have been molested? Okay. So about a fourth of the people. And I'm sure that even if you haven't been molested, a loved one that you know of or somebody that's real close to you has been, whether it's man or woman. I know the very first time that Pastor Dave called for a line, it was pretty crowded in the church. And the very first time that he called for a line to come up to receive healing for having been molested, men and women both, it filled the front here, just lined all the way. It was at least a fourth, maybe a third of the people that were here. This is a place for people to come, and not just that. I want to know, just for me, how many have ever been divorced? And you have a big, even bigger percentage there. I know a lot of you haven't lost a child. I mean, these are terrible, terrible hurts. Things that were put in your path when you were, and you, most of the time you didn't, you, in fact, I could say you did nothing at all to bring that on yourself. I know you didn't. But it's something sent to destroy you, but you ended up here. And you've learned to forgive. That's the main thing. You have to forgive in order for the plan of God to reach its fullness in your life. You have to. No ifs, no ands, no buts. You just forgive. And it takes a while to learn how to do that. But you do it because it's for your own good. If for no other, you do it for a very selfish reason, so God can work in your life. But at the same time, if you forgive, then He gets to work in other people's lives too. Those same people that hurt you, that cause those things to happen to you, then He'll work in their lives too if you pray for them. There's so much that I would like to tell you about, that our heart's desire is to see the women of this church take their place in the plan of God, that take their place in the ministry that He's called you to, in the fullness of it. And as long as your emotions are your Lord, He won't be able to use you as He would want to. That doesn't mean going around like an emotionless robot or anything at all like that. It's just that you depend on Jesus for your peace no matter what's going on. That He is your, He supplies everything. He is your satisfaction for your soul, even to some degree. I know that we need fellowship with other believers. for our soul's well-being. You cannot shut yourself up like a hermit and grow. It's like when you separate yourself from the body of Christ, it's as though you become, what would you call it? How mentally handicapped some people are born that way sometimes, or they'll have a disease that makes them handicapped, mentally handicapped. Well, you become spiritually handicapped. About the confessions for the children, you can put those, your children's name in these scriptures. One of the major ones was when God spoke to us when we were going through hell with the kids during those 5 years. And when He spoke, "Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captives of the just be delivered?" Lawful captives. Lawful. That means Satan had a right by some way because of the decisions they had made to go after them. Because of their decisions. That's why some people might argue with that, but that's what He told us. And I know it was God. Amen. "For thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty will be taken away, and the prey of the terrible will be delivered. For I will contend with him who contends with you." And now, I like the King James Version best, the way it says, because that's how he read it then. "And I will save your children." And boy, did he... Don't get me started. I can't talk about that. Some of the things we went through a time where it was just every day, just saying this to God. "You said you would contend with them that contends with us, and you would save our children. You said so, God. So we're going to believe that instead of what we see with our physical eyes. We believe your word, Father, above everything else. Your word is the truth. All of this other stuff isn't. You'll bring your word to pass. All of these things, that's the attitude you have to have every day. Specific words, and keep your faith out there for something, believing for someone. If you don't have a loved one that you think needs prayer, start praying for the people of the prayer center. God will bring faces to you, and He will tell you what to pray for them. He wants to move in this place as quickly as He can. But for most people, He can't take you from way over here to way over here because of the emotional upheaval in people's souls, and they will cut and run, as Gary says. They can't take it. They can't take the emotional upheaval. So they run. We've done that before. Not from here, but earlier on. From different things that God would have us do. But that doesn't happen anymore. Oh, we prayed for a woman one time who was saved. She got saved the same time we were. She had been on fire for God. And because of the hurt that she sustained in her husband leaving, she just went. It was just like she couldn't even think anymore. This woman ended up finding this younger man, and same situation, you know. She woke, and we had prayed for her. And we bound the spirit of death over her. Because that's what God told us to do when we had gathered with this other couple. And we all knew what was going on. And she said she opened her eyes that night, same night that she was telling us this later. And we prayed other things for her too, but we bound those spirits. And she said she opened her eyes and looked at him in bed, and she saw this death mask on his face. He wasn't a believer or anything, you know. She just, her soul had just gone crazy, and the devil was able to deceive her into making some of these choices. And there's been many times when we've prayed for people, and when God has had us pray for ourselves, and we could see immediate results or heard about immediate results that people had been delivered from evil, from sometimes death or accidents. Or I used to tell one of the girls, because we knew she would go to clubs all the time, I would say, "Now, honey, you just be sure and hear the Holy Spirit now while you're out there." And I said, "And look around, pay attention to what's going on around you." See, because I had always prayed that the Lord opened the eyes of her understanding. And I knew that that meant that he would open her eyes to the spirit world too, just like he had done us, to where she could see demonic influence in people's lives. And sometimes, and different types of devils and the way that they influence people. The spirits of perversion and lust and anger that work through people that gather. They like to gather in the same place. They like to be around the other spirits. So they have places that they gather. And a lot of them like to hang around clubs. I know, because I used to spend my life in them before we got saved. And I got to tell you this, for those people that you're praying for that are involved in that. Well, even before I accepted Jesus and was born again, they had started praying for me. Well, I still went out. After we got off work, a bunch of us would just stop by the clubs. That's what we always did. Have a few drinks. Well, after they got saved and I wasn't saved yet, and I was still, there were a few weekends when I'd still do that. I was still trying to do the same thing. I mean, my life hadn't changed yet, I didn't think. I sat there in that club. It was so depressing. And I saw how sad those people were. All of those people, it was like, this is their only life. This is all they have to look forward to. This is it. So then, by the time I accepted Jesus, I didn't even want to go to clubs anymore, and I haven't been since. Thank you guys so much, and we just appreciate you being here.